Good morning, everybody. So glad you could join us this morning.
Both abundance and lack exist simultaneously in our lives as parallel realities. It is always our conscious choice which secret garden we will tend. When we choose not to focus on what is missing from our lives, but are grateful for the abundance that's present, love, health, family, friends, work, the joys of nature, and personal pursuits that bring us pleasure. The wasteland of illusion falls away, and we experience heaven on earth. Come, let us worship here together. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor.
Let us light this chalice as a symbol for all for which we are grateful. please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our first hymn, number 21 in the gray hymnal, For the Beauty of the Earth. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Barb Adams, and Fran Bills and I are conducting today's service. If you have hosted a yearly gathering of 19 or more relatives this weekend, bless you. You are welcome here. No matter who you are or where you have come from, you are welcome here. And for all Packers fans who are still cringing in their seats after our homeland was defiled by the invading horde, remember, we're all in this together, and there will be another day. We welcome those who have known nothing but acceptance in their lives, and those who have known the pain of exclusion and suffer disdain for their differences. LCUUC is a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation, which means we welcome and affirm queer and trans people and all people, regardless of who they love or what pronouns they use. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. Like and follow LCUUC on Facebook in order to get ongoing information about activities, and check out our webpage at lcuuc.org to stay current on services and events. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence all electronics you may have with you to hear today. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
one of the ways we care for community and our neighbors is by contributing to local food pantries, financially and through the collection of non-perishable food items from all of you and fresh vegetables from the Garden of Good here on the property. If you have food items to share, would you please bring them forward at this point in the service or ask a child to bring them forward for you? And I invite the children to stay up front and share a story. Well, I bet a few days ago all of you enjoyed a fine feast with your family, maybe friends, and maybe people went around the table, may have shared things that they are grateful for, thankful for, and I bet all of you have things that you're very thankful and grateful for in your life. And I'm wondering, how many of you have ever had gratitude soup? Have you ever tasted gratitude soup? Well, today we're going to learn how to make some. Gratitude Soup by Olivia Rosewood. Hi, I'm Violet, the Purple Fairy, and this is my story of gratitude and how it changed my feelings inside and my attitude. You see, usually I was ready to be silly, easily, breezily, ready to be willy-nilly, giggles, funny, smiles, bouncing, jumping, running. Happiness could flow, you know, from my head to my toes. Except that sometimes I caught a case of the gimme, gimme, want-wants. I became a cranky one, almost undone, and not much fun. And on my face, not a trace of that happier space. I screamed on the inside, I need more toys. I screamed to the outside, I need more toys. But Mommy and Daddy didn't give me toys when I lost my poise and made all that noise. So I yelled louder, I want more. But still no toys. What a bore. My parents knew in their core I didn't need more. But their poor girl, they couldn't just ignore. Mommy said sweetly, it's not toys that you need. Indeed, there's something better. It's your soul we'll feed. I know just where to start. We'll make gratitude soup in your heart. I know how, and we can make some right now. Here's how you do it. There's nearly nothing to it. All you need is not a lot. An imaginary spoon and a pot. That I've got. And then search your mind. Rewind. See if you can find all that you love and like riding a bike, and all that you enjoy and appreciate, like ice cream cake. I, Violet the Purple Fairy, love to cook, and I know just where to look to make a perfect gratitude soup. It's so fun, I like to start it with a whoopity whoop. My gratitude list has become so long, I turn it into a song. Feel free to sing along. I am grateful for my toes. I am grateful for my nose. I am grateful for my Grandma Rose. I am grateful for the light of the sun and the light of the moon, for delicious lunch at noon and singing a snappy tune. My favorite cartoon and a purple balloon. I am grateful for my cozy bed, my smart head, and all the books I read. I am grateful for warm sourdough bread. I'm grateful for snuggles, hugs, and ladybugs, playing pretend with my friends, my dolls, playing ball, and getting tall. One by one, I put them in the pot. My, my, I can think of a lot. The more I find I have gratitude for, the more I find I have to adore. So I search myself to my core and I find I am grateful for even more. I am grateful for playing in the park and a bright light when it's dark. I am grateful for going to school and trying on fancy princess jewels. When the sun is hot and the water's cool, I am grateful to go swimming in a pool. The more I think about my gratitude, the happier and happier is my attitude. Changing my focus is like hocus pocus. My heart lightens, my feeling brightens. Then watch the swirl and whirl, the curls unfurl as you stir all that you're grateful for, all that you adore, your gratitude growing more and more. Can you feel your heart soar? You can add some love in there, and even tender loving care if you're aware that you have some to spare. You can sip gratitude soup all day, and you can sip gratitude soup all night. Gratitude makes the best soup, I say, filling me with love and light. And it's just right there, ready to share, ready to care, in my heart, ready to exude and feed my soul with gratitude. And that's how I, Violet the Purple Fairy, became Violet the Purple Gratitude Fairy. Gratitude soup helps me love even more all the experiences I already adore. Try some yourself and see what it's for. You can make it any time, any day. It's not hard work. It's more like play. Start cooking, okay? What do you say? Feed your soul with gratitude and you too will say, yay, hip hip hooray. May I have today's lantern bearer? I hope you enjoyed the story. Thank you. May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. Please help join in singing the children to their classrooms. The song is called For You Shall Go Out, and the words are written in your order of service.
Great gratitude and thankfulness for the joyful, welcoming, loving, compassionate, kind, and generous community of kindred spirits here at LCUUC. The morning offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and work of this community.
This is the time in our service where we share our joys and concerns. We do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. Would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone. Say your name and share your joy or concern.
Hi, I'm Paula. A candle of concern for my friend Sue in Dallas, who's having back surgery tomorrow.
I'm Christy. If you could please light a candle of concern for our family friend Rhonda. She just found out that a brain tumor she had removed about a year and a half ago is returned.
And we light the last candle for those joys and sorrows which we hold deeply, but which have not been named here today.
Glory be to God for dappled things, for skies of couple color as a brindled cow, for rose moles all in stipple upon trout that swim. Fresh fire coal chestnut falls, finches wings, landscapes plotted and pieced, fold, fallow, plow. And all trades, their gear and tackle and trim. Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer. As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. John F. Kennedy.
At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the flame among us. Albert Schweitzer.
Joy is the simplest form of gratitude. Karl Barth.
Often people ask how I manage to be happy despite having no arms and no legs. The quick answer is that I have a choice. I can be angry about not having limbs, or I can be thankful I have a purpose. I chose gratitude. Nick Fujisic.
It is vital that people count their blessings to appreciate what they possess without having to undergo its actual loss. Abraham Maslow. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. Cicero.
Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Melody Beatty. Here ends the second reading. Please rise, embody your spirit, and join in singing number 19, The Sun That Shines. It's in the gray hymnal. Tracy will play it through once. The choir will sing the first verse, and then we'll join together.
Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. As soon as the leaves begin to show their true colors, I start to salivate for the fragrance and flavors of a traditional Thanksgiving feast shared with family and friends. It's an easy and relatively inexpensive meal to prepare. Compared to the coming holiday, it is far less stressful. No spending hours decorating the house only to tear it all down a week later. No fretting over who to gift and what to gift and how much to gift. And do people still send out and expect a card by a snail mail? Thanksgiving is a wonderful annual gathering of loved ones where we express our gratitude for all life's blessings, not the least of which are family and friends. What is gratitude? My uncle Jess Stein, back in the last century, was editor-in-chief of an unabridged dictionary of the English language for Random House. He defined the noun gratitude as the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. Grateful is an adjective, and since adjectives are descriptors, Jess wrote a longer description for grateful. Warmly or deeply appreciative of kindness or benefits received. The synonyms that follow emphasize that part of being grateful is to express one's gratitude to the benefactor. Gratitude implies a benefactor, something or someone responsible for the kindness we have received. All of us have experienced, at the very least, small acts of loving kindness and compassion from other people. The benefactor is obvious, even if it is the scientist we never knew who discovered a drug that saved our life, or the unknown school volunteer who has helped our child work through a difficult lesson. Theists feel gratitude to a beneficent higher being, God or the universe or the spirit of nature, for their existence, life, and the universe. Greta Christina, in her blog, suggests that atheists cannot truly be grateful for a benefactor they do not believe exists, but instead are very aware of their good fortune to exist and enjoy the beauty of life and the wonders of the universe. Awareness of the good things in your life, regardless of where they come from, is the first step and central to the notion of gratitude. Next, we must express our thanks to the benefactor for small and large acts of loving kindness and compassion we have received. If we can identify that individual or organization, we should directly express our thanks. If the benefactor is a higher being or spirit, then express your gratitude through prayer, the rituals of your faith, or meditation. Ultimately, the practice of gratitude requires that we pass along the acts of loving kindness and compassion to others. The gratitude or good fortune we feel for our existence, life, and the wonders of nature and the universe compel us to work to protect and preserve these things. Can expressing gratitude on a daily basis affect our lives? And if so, how? Before the 1980s, psychology research focused on clinical and emotional problems. Suddenly, researchers started looking at what makes happy, well-adjusted people so happy and well-adjusted. Maybe those of us perpetually down in the dumps, emotionally stressed out, or suffering from panic attacks could be taught how to be happy. Peer-reviewed journals are now full of studies showing that meditation, mindfulness, yoga, ordinary exercise, a healthy diet, and the conscious practice of gratitude can, in some cases, be as or even more effective than drugs without those nasty possible side effects, which during a TV ad generally end with a voice rapidly stating and may, in rare cases, cause death. Scientists might not have recognized the benefits of gratitude until just 30 years ago, but every religion recognizes the importance of expressing gratitude. Polytheistic faiths express thanks through rituals to a multitude of gods who each have a different role in keeping mankind alive and well. Jews thank Yahweh through prayers of gratitude, benedictions spoken throughout the day for the multitude of his gifts. Christians are grateful to Jesus for the great sacrifice he made on their behalf, and they too are asked to give thanks to show their gratitude. And the Quran demands that Muslims give thanks to Allah and express their gratitude to Him. In Unitarian Universalism, theists, those who recognize a God, atheists, those convinced there is no such thing, and agnostics, those who just don't know, are all welcome. We do not share a dogma that demands we obey commandments which are at the heart of Judaism. Nor are we told to bring Jesus into our hearts in order to enjoy eternal salvation, as Christians are. Nor are we told we must submit to the will of God as written by Muhammad. Reverend Galen Gugerich says that the central discipline of Unitarian Universalism ought to be gratitude. Heartfelt gratitude ought to yield some kind of engagement, participation, commitment, and action. From this recognition of dependence flows what he calls an ethic of gratitude, which demands that we nurture the world that nurtures us. A large number of studies have shown that cultivating an attitude of gratitude and consciously practicing gratitude in our daily lives has a substantial impact on our emotions and even our physical health. Research indicates that people who practice gratitude, who express their thanks, not just to nature, God, or family and friends who are no longer alive, but to people currently in their lives, are measurably happier and are more pleasant to be around. They tend to be physically healthier as well. Practicing gratitude can be difficult when the inevitable trials and tribulations of life confront us. Like meditation, exercise, and mindfulness, the practice of gratitude is a discipline. Robert Emmons outlines ways to develop a gratitude practice. Keep a journal in which you jot down one or two specific events, things, or people for which you were grateful that day. Recall the worst events from your past. By remembering how terrible things were, you will start to appreciate how much better your life is right now. Try the Buddhist meditation technique of Nikan, a method for becoming introspective by asking three questions on a regular basis. What have I received from someone? What have I given to someone? What troubles and difficulties have I caused someone? The first two questions will need no explanation. Of the third, Emmons writes, the last step is a difficult one, of acknowledging not the things that bother us, but how we cause pain in the lives of others by our thoughts, words, and deeds. If we are not willing to see and accept those events in which we have been the source of others' suffering, then we cannot truly know ourselves or the grace by which we live. If you pray or meditate, incorporate words of gratitude into this daily practice. Express thanks every day, or be conscious of your good fortune, for your beautiful, magnificent body, for your breath and your beating heart and your senses that bring the world, the universe, to your awareness. Sooner or later, our bodies begin to fail. But if we have our breath, a beating heart, and are conscious and aware, we have much for which to be thankful. Post visual pithy phrases to help remind you to be grateful and to express your gratitude, especially to other people. Gratefulness is a social endeavor. Surround yourself with people who are grateful and shy away from those who lack this virtue. There is scientific evidence that language can shape attitude. Individuals who reach astonishing ages tend to be grateful to other individuals and see themselves as having had fortunate and happy lives. Engage in positive self-talk and do not let a negative ego dominate your thoughts. There is scientific evidence that even if you do not feel a specific emotion, pasting an expression on your face will trick your brain into releasing the hormones associated with the emotion this expression represents. The act of smiling triggers the happy part of the brain and releases happy hormones like oxytocin. Frowning triggers a different area and releases the stress hormone cortisol. The act of forcing a thank you can trigger the emotion of gratitude and the resulting helpful benefits, which include the creation and strengthening of neural pathways that will reinforce the behavior, thus leading to the more frequent release of happy, healthy hormones. Be grateful to those whom you help. People who volunteer often express how grateful they are for the opportunity to help others, as it just makes them so happy. One Buddhist ideal is to be grateful to those who have harmed you. This is a tough one that can take a long time to cultivate. To quote Robert Emmons, by practicing the gifts of the moment, gratitude frees us from past regrets and future anxieties. By cultivating gratefulness, we are freed from envy over what we don't have or who we are not. It doesn't make life perfect, but with gratitude comes the realization that right now, in this moment, we have enough, we are enough.
Deepak Chopra writes, gratitude opens the door to the power, the wisdom, the creativity of the universe. You open that door through gratitude. Our modern society teaches us many things, but learning to incorporate gratitude into our lives is not part of the daily playbook. We are told to want, to get, to conquer, to own, to control, to need, and to bleed in order to have it all. We are encouraged to use things and people in any way necessary to get to the top. We are bombarded by images in the media that suggest that we should not age or experience loss. Our personal independence is presented to be one of the most important values to cultivate. What's a human to do? Today we are gathered together to consider how, while we can maintain a realistic view about life's challenges, hardships, and failures, we can also embark on a journey towards beginning a practice by which we can choose to live more joyfully in a chaotic world. Gratitude is the tool that transformed my personal experience. My gratitude story began in high school when, as a socially awkward teen, I learned to drink alcohol. The first time I tried it, I got totally obliterated at my sister's wedding. Not good. I didn't really like it, but it came in handy sometimes to blend in at parties and to fend off some of the more aggressive guys I dated. I started smoking pot a year later, and oh Lord, that was my fit. I used a number of psychedelic substances in college, and they were quite educational, but I moved that past that phase in time. I have walked a crooked path in life, had heartbreak and joy, and through it all, I used constantly, but was always able to function and find success in a career I loved. Life seemed to get harder as things went along, and I didn't develop the way I had hoped. Most lessons came to me through loss, pain, confusion. I never seemed to find balance in my mind. My external life was actually filled with many wonderful people, places, and experiences, but I missed the connection within my soul. More and more, whenever I needed to shut down, I turned to my personal agents of solace. Everything became an excuse to use. Most of those who knew and loved me didn't really see me as an addict and an alcoholic. but I knew I had lost my guiding light. In 2011, I came to a personal crossroad in my life, a point where I knew my life had become unmanageable. I began to seek change through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Learning and practicing the steps in order to reclaim my life from addiction and self-destructive behaviors has been a journey from delusional thinking, self-pity, feelings of hopelessness and disregard for honesty towards faith, forgiveness, and action. I went through an intensive period of learning how to accept life as it is, not what I thought it should be. Through readings, meetings, working the 12 steps, and prayerful contemplation, I try to practice these principles in all areas of my daily life and to cultivate spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. The most empowering mantra used in the 12-step recovery is the following. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I invite everyone to incorporate these simple concepts to navigate and celebrate our process of living. The amazing thing about the process of seeking sobriety is that it is uplifting, often humorous, and is equal parts tears and joy. Gratitude is at the heart of this picture. When we learn to embrace a way of life that allows us to widen our scope of acceptance of ourselves and others, we can release our death grip on trying to control everything around us and begin to find life's natural flow. We begin to care more about helping others than ourselves and find a deep happiness in doing so. Stepping into action brings life-affirming changes in individuals, families, communities, and the larger world. All of us are touched by many troubles in life. Substance abuse, if it does not touch you or your family, all of us know someone who is struggling with this affliction. Please be gentle with them, but encourage them to reach out, because the biggest hurdle to getting help is thinking you have to do it alone. We need each other. And I can't tell you how much this church has helped me in developing a new life. I am joyous, happy, and free. I hope sharing part of my personal history might be valuable in some way on all our journeys. We have some time this morning for a polylog. The ushers will bring a microphone to you. Please state your name, your question, your argument, whatever's on your mind. I really need to hear from everyone who is able.
Hi, I'm Terry, and something that Fran said really brought me back to a few weeks ago, well, about a month ago. I was in Italy with my sister, and we were standing in a humongous line to go into St. Mark's Cathedral in Venice. And you can't carry anything in there, so you have to check your bag or your backpack or whatever. You have to check it and then get in the line. So we got to the front of the line, and we went in, and there was a stairway, and it said, if you want to go to the top and, you know, look out from the top of the cathedral, go up these stairs. And we were like, oh, yeah, we're going to go up there. That's going to be really cool. And there were people just streaming up this little narrow stairway that was kind of going up top. We got to the top, and there was somebody there collecting money to get up there. And we said, oh, my gosh, we didn't know it cost anything. We didn't bring any money with us. All we had, I had my phone so I could take pictures. And the man behind us said, go on, we'll take care of you. And his wife said, you can't climb up all this way and not go in. And they paid for us. And then they walked around the whole thing upstairs with us. And it was such a sweet gift that they did that for us. And, you know, the whole concept of random acts of kindness really do happen. That's all I have to say.
Hi, this is Gus. Thank you, Barb, for sharing that. I was very moved by your honesty. As everybody here knows, I'm also in a program. I don't necessarily work all the steps, but what I have gotten out of that, besides a sense of gratitude, is being able to admit that my life is limited, my power is limited, that I can only do so much for other people and also only so much for myself. My sponsor told me a long time ago that you reach bottom when you stop digging. And what that reminds me of on a daily basis is the fact that the world is the way I've created it. And if I want to change it and develop those happy hormones, I love that expression, is that I put a smile on my face and suddenly things start to change and I have some control over my thinking. So what I have to do is also change that. And the attitude and the emotions and the actions follow. Once I change my thinking about how I live, then the emotions start to, sometimes kicking and screaming, but they do follow. And actions follow after that. It becomes so much more easy to help other people when your bottom has been so low that you realize you need them. So anyway, that's all I've got.
Thanks, Gus.
Hi, this is Megan. I'm curious, really, I'm throwing this out there to everyone. I grew up in a household where we really never, ever talked about gratitude for anything. I don't think even at Thanksgiving. It just wasn't part of our makeup, not religious. And we don't really do it much at home. And I'm curious if anyone else, and I've been reading also these articles about, you know, developing the practice and cultivating it and starting it. And I'm curious if there are others who have managed to kind of break through that and start doing this with their family, even though it seems very challenging culturally. So I'm just curious if anyone's really done that.
I'm Alan. I'm not going to respond to your question right now. my father, who passed away about a year ago, was an alcoholic. I learned to not trust from him. And I, like you, Barb, have found some release in that behavior through the community in this church. I think in responding also to the general gratitude message today, I've had a lot of changes over the past couple of years, and a lot of it I would attribute to my time spent with Eric in the Renzai Zen group. I am less of a I know, and if you don't know that I know, let me tell you that I know. And I'm less reactive and judging through the Buddhist practices. So I guess I'm expressing a gratitude and appreciate the forum that you two brought to us today to do so.
Hi, Barb. I just want to thank you also for sharing that story. It was so moving. I mean, there was so much of, you know, messages that are simple about gratitude that we hear a lot and we read in magazines and stuff. And then I think I was kind of tuning out. And when you started to talk about your story, I tuned in. Alcohol plays a huge part in our family life, always has. Does it teeter on alcoholism? Possibly. And to hear you be so honest, I mean, I feel like that's what this community is about, is being honest, and there aren't very many communities like that. So I'm very grateful for that. And I'm very grateful that Gus is back.
Thanks, Mary. I'm Lois, and sort of answering your question, going back to that, about 10 years ago, I had the honor, I was living elsewhere, of having stay with me 4 Bhutanese monks, and they were doing some work in the city that I was in, and some friends had asked me for them to stay with me. And it was sort of post-divorce and whatever, and I watched them all weekend and spent time with them and meditated with them, and their constant chanting, and realized how I was feeling surrounded by this chanting all weekend, started me on a new practice. Like, as I was walking to work the next day, I commuted via train, which was always pretty not pleasant in an urban environment, and as I walked to work every day, started a practice of gratitude, just saying, thank you for the sun, thank you for, you know, whatever I was going into. And started, when I was doing other kinds of traveling, I would just do it on an airplane or wherever I was, I would start that. And it made a huge difference in my life. And I can say that it really does work. And no matter where I am, I just sort of, you know, when I started my day, I just, you know, it's raining out. What a beautiful thing the plants need, or it's cold and snowy. I mean, you know, I start off with sort of the outside world and then come into what I want, and it makes a difference. And my husband and I share this sort of, you know, very thankful for all the little things in our lives, and we try to bring that into our friends, and it makes a difference.
Hi, it's Karen. Thanks to both of you very much. It's just one thing I wanted to say is I've been, you know, practicing gratefulness for a long time, and sometimes more successfully than others. And I've noticed that at times I think what I'm grateful for, and then I'm on to the next thing I'm grateful for. But I found that it's most important to feel it after I think it, to kind of let it settle into my heart. And that makes me then smile. So thanks to you both.
Barb, I want to thank you for sharing. And as you know, I'm also, as one might say, in recovery. But at meetings, I often say that the foundations of my recovery are acceptance and gratitude. And I'm just so grateful that I do have some control over my attitude, and I can go negative or positive, and I really have learned to try and put a positive spin on so many things in my life that used to get me down.
I didn't know if I was going to say anything, but I just have to talk about retroactive gratitude. because I've reached the point in my life where I can look back and I can see there were problems, divorce, but then I met my wonderful husband, Wally, and I had him for 29 years. And then I found this church, which was the best thing, maybe after Wally. And so I continue every day to be so grateful to have this community of love, acceptance, fun. It's just gratitude. Thank you, everyone.
It's really hard for me to speak in front of a large group, but I also have had a lot of experience in my family of origin and my children and my ex-husband with this disease and the horrific effects on family, many of whom are left with such deep scars and pain or fear of life that it's hard for them to function. It's been a journey, even at my age, to look at how what horrible effects this has had on some people. I lost a son in this process, and his gift to me after that was a renewal of my spirituality, and for which I've been very grateful. There are just so many things, but I wanted to tell you that your spirit and your soul shines through, and I am very thankful for your willingness, you know, to share this. Okay. Thank you.
One more. My name is Lynn. There's a quote from a German religious philosopher, maybe Gus knows it, but he said, if the only prayer we have is thank you, that is enough. And to Megan's comment, you know, we didn't grow up saying thank you or expressing gratitude much as when I was growing up, but with our children, we had a simple prayer we said at every meal that was, we're thankful for our food, for rest and home and all things good, for wind and rain and sun above, but most of all for those we love.
Thanks, everybody, for sharing. Thank you, dear Fran, for being my partner in this. This has been a little bit of an experience for both of us, putting up a service together. And maybe I'll be blessed together. As we extinguish this chalice, may we carry the warmth of gratitude in our hearts and fan the flame of gratitude in our daily lives. Please rise. Please rise in body or spirit and joining in singing 128, For All That Is Our Life.
We are all.
into the world with thanksgiving, gratitude, and awareness of your good fortune for all the gifts and the griefs that life holds.
I hope it worked. Good now.
Mother Mary, come to
thee. Thank you. Thank you.
Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let it be. Let it be.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let it be.
Oh, you're very welcome for coming. I get a hug from you.
Yeah.
Stay for just a little bit. I want you to meet Scotty. Yeah, my friend. You're welcome. Thank you. Hi. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.